إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we talked about the financial ratio called ROC, ROS, yesterday. Now in that context, I want to remind myself and you of the importance of analyzing our investments. So let me give you an example. You have somebody who has money, who has a lot of money, and he is living happily. Then somebody comes to him and gives him an idea that why don't you invest in this particular business? Now that business that he is asking him to invest in has a huge rate of return. It's not multiples, it's not percentages, it's multiples. So he's giving him, showing him the scheme and saying that if you invest $1 million here, then in a period of 3 years, you will get 100 million because it's multiplies very fast. So what's the business? He says arms dealing, supplying arms to mercenaries. So the mercenaries are fighting this country, that country, and so on, so on. So supplying arms to them. That is the it's a business. Like any other business, it's a business, gives you a very high rate of return. And this person enters that business, he invests. What do you say about that? Is that a good investment or a bad investment? Now, why do you say bad investment? Because I'm telling you, as far as investment is concerned, in 3 years, his money is multiplying 100 times. And if I challenge you and I say, find me any other business in the world where money will multiply like this. In 3 years, it is multiplying 100 times. What will you say? You will say it is not the question of money. It's the question of what kind of business is it. Because he is dealing in arms with terrorists, with mercenaries. If he gets caught, he will hang. Because he will be considered to be a traitor to his nation. And if he gets caught, he will hang. So it's a very stupid business because yes, on the one hand, you can make a lot of money, but if you get caught, the cost is so high that all that $100 million that you make is not going to save you from the noose. Now let me give you a real life example with one critical difference. The real life example is the same, somebody who has money. I'm not talking about somebody who is poor. Somebody who has money. And alhamdulillah, he's got enough money to live. Halal income. This person is sold a scheme by a bank. And the bank comes to him and says, you have got so much of money, you are living happily and so on, but why don't you increase this money? And I can give you a scheme where you can double, triple and so on and so forth. No bank will give you 100 times the return in 3 years. That is not there, but they'll give you a good return. So what must I do? He said, you put in the seed capital, we will give you a loan, we'll give you a good rate of interest. And then why don't you start this business? Or why don't you start that business? Or why don't you invest in this business which is already there? And why don't you invest in that business which is already there and so on? We will fund you and we'll give you a good rate of interest and you join. And this person joins. Now, is that a good business or a bad business? Is that a good investment or a bad investment? What is the technical difference? Two technical differences. Number one technical difference is that before this person took on this bank interest loan, this person's name, we are talking about Muslims here, so we are talking about Muslims, this person's name in the listing of names before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, this person's name was in the Awliya of Allah. What is my dalil for saying that? My dalil for saying that is the Quran itself. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alladina amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. Allah mentioned these awliya and he said, La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. My awliya are those who have no fear and who have no sadness. Who are they? Alladina amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. These are the people who have Iman and Taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His great mercy did not say how much Iman, how much Taqwa. He didn't put this condition. So, inshallah al-musta'an, may Allah include all of us in that. Any Muslim who has Iman and who has Taqwa is among the Awliya of Allah. His list, his name is listed in the Awliya of Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and to forgive our mistakes. So, this person, before he took on this bank loan, he's got his name in the Awliya of Allah. Then comes the bank loan. Now, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about those who deal in interest? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have declared war on such people. What do you call the one who is fighting you on the opposite side in a war? Enemy. Enemy. Right. So now, this person's name has moved from Awliya Allah to Adu Allah. From Waliullah to Adu Allah. His name has moved from the Awliya of Allah to the enemies of Allah. Now remember, we are not talking about somebody who you are indifferent to. Well, I don't know who is the person, I don't care. No, we are talking about the enemy of Allah. Now, the moment you say enemy, naturally it means that you have to fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the issue of riba and about the issue of interest? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba. Allah will definitely destroy riba. It's a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahu la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. La yukhlifu al-mi'ad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who does not go against His promises. If Allah promises something, believe me, Allah will do it. There is no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limits. It's not as if He cannot do it. And if He promises, Allah does not tell lies. So Allah will do it. And Allah has made a very clear promise. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba. Allah will destroy. So now the person's name moved from the Awliya of Allah to the enemies of Allah, number one. If he dies in that state with that loan, then he is going to be standing, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, on the day of judgment, the people who deal with interest will be given swords in their hands and they will be told, you accepted the declaration of war from your Rabb, go and fight with him. Imagine, all the great presidents of the great banks who are going home with millions of dollars worth of bonuses, and all those people who fall into their trap and who take interest-based loans for this business, that house, this car, whatever the reason, will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be given swords and said, go fight your Rabb because you accepted a declaration of war from him. Go and fight him. On the day of judgment, you will be told, go fight Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we want the shafa'at of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede for us on the day of judgment, you have declared war with the man. You have declared war with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have accepted the declaration of war. You are standing there as the enemy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not as the ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, what is the technical difference, as I told you, between the first example of the man dealing with arms with terrorists and this guy with the interest base? The technical difference is the guy dealing with the terrorists and with the mercenaries, he has a chance of escaping because the governments of the world are not infallible. So, if he is smart enough, if he gives enough bribes in enough places and so on, maybe he can escape. Maybe he can actually get away with his 100 times capital increase and maybe he will be happy. Maybe he can get out of business easy enough and then he is fine. He's got his money. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where are you going to escape? Who are you going to bribe? So, you take on this loan, you have accepted a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you die in that state, you stand before Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their enemy. And even if you don't die, even if you live, your Rabb promised to destroy you. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba. And wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah preserve me from this and preserve you from this. I have in my own life seen specifically two cases where I have seen people, their whole business, their whole life being destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only and only for this reason. Good people, very nice people, very kind, very good manners, everything. Not that they were evil people, no. Only reason is riba. And they came down very hard and they came down from very high up. Two Muslims, very well to do. I mean, I won't tell you the numbers, but very, very impressive numbers. All the people who are sitting here listening to me, if we add up all your known capital, I don't know what you have hidden somewhere, but whatever my guesstimate is, if we add up all of that, you would not even go anywhere near one of them. Not even near. You won't even be in the same ballpark. Completely reduced to penury. No reason. And I have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me in my own life, I have seen two cases. And Allah knows how many cases. Because, and it's not surprising because you have accepted a declaration of war from Allah. I mean, what sense does it make? Where does it make sense to accept war with Allah? It's like one of our drivers said to somebody here, "Ghaslene koi nahi mila ka, tumhare ko Allah hi mila ka bolaune." So it's literally, I mean, it's completely senseless. Why would you do that? But this is what is happening. And that is the reason why today, we Muslims, we wonder. We are making dua in the haram, we are making dua in this place and that place, and we are making dua in Hajj, in Arafat and so on. Oh Allah, remove our difficulties. Oh Allah, help us. Oh Allah, we are being oppressed, we are being killed in Palestine, in this place, that place. And we find duas are not accepted. We don't see the effect of that. We don't see the effect of this dua. And I'm not making a fatwa. My heart tells me the reason we are not making, our duas are not accepted, is because the vast majority of Muslims are dealing in interest. The enemy of Allah is calling to Allah, how will this dua be accepted? The vast majority of Muslims are dealing in interest, and therefore you are standing there as the enemy of Allah. How can your dua be accepted? Rasulullah ﷺ saw a man. He came into the masjid. And he knew the person. He came into the masjid and he made salah, and then he's making dua. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. He lifts up his hands. Rasulullah ﷺ said, his food is haram, his clothes are haram. Clothes are haram means what? That means his income is haram. Because clothes meaning, otherwise what is the, there is no haram, nothing haram in clothes. Nabi ﷺ said, his food is haram, his clothes are haram, his earning is haram. How will his dua be accepted by his Rabb? This is Sahih Hadith. How will his dua be accepted by his Rabb? So what are we saying? If you eat haram and if you earn haram, or if you spend haram, your dua is gone. And the vast majority of Muslims today are doing both. They are eating haram because they are eating. I'm not talking about the ones who are drinking alcohol and so on. Unka chodo, wo to kar rahe. But even the ones who are not doing all that, they are either eating or drinking things which are doubtful. Whether it is meats in terms of slaughter, whether it's things like Coke and Pepsi and whatnot, they are eating and drinking things which are doubtful, which means that they are likely to be haram. I'm trying to be as mild as possible. And the second one is, the earning is haram because of interest-based loans that they have. Now, how can the dua of these people be accepted? So here we have accepted the enmity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. May Allah forgive us and may Allah give us sense. Whoever is in interest must get out immediately. Whatever the cost, that cost is less than becoming the enemy of Allah. And if you die in that state with that interest-based loan, and may Allah help you because nobody else will. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly said what He will do. So saying may Allah help you is a wasted dua, because you know, if you die with that loan, then you have died as the enemy of Allah. And that's the end of the story. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. And that's why I said I'm talking about this in terms of return on investment. This is your investment. You made this investment in the bank. This is your return. The return is Jahannam. The return is the enmity of Allah. The return is the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What sense does it make? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes and not to allow us to fall into this trap. And whoever is in the trap, we ask Allah to ease his burden and get him out of this trap and not to take his soul until he's out of this trap. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them and to forgive them. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.